Today's shiur is Masechta Maakatan Daf Chaf Beis, and we will begin Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara Tana Rabbanan, Avol Gimel Yomim Marishainim, the Avol on the first 3 days of the Avelis, Bama Makam Karev, if he comes from a place which is close, as the Rishainim identify a place that is close as a place which is within 10 Pasos, because 10 Pasos is the amount that one could travel in one day. Baba Makam Karev, if he comes from a close place, Moina Imahim, he sits down Shiva with his other relatives who are sitting Shiva on the snifter, and he counts along with them, even though when he has begun the Shiva, he with the other relatives had begun sitting before he began sitting. However, Baba Makam Rachaik, if it's more than one day's travel, more than 10 pasos, min al atzmai, he counts for himself. V'kam ye'elach, if he arrives after the first 3 days of Shiva, afilu b'ma makam karev, even if he came from this place which is close by, within one day's travel, still the halach is min al atzmai, he has to count for himself. Rav Shimon Aimer, Rav Shimon disagrees, and he says, Afilu ba b'yom ha'shvi, even if he comes on the last day of the Shiva, as long as Rav Shimon says this Avol who's joining the other relatives came from a makam karev, from this close place, the halach is mina imahim, he could count Shiva with them, and even though it's the last day of Shiva, he'll sit Shiva with them during this last day, and they'll all get up together. So the Rashba, in framing this Gemara, says that Baal Makam Karev is only if they come to the place where he comes to the place where they are sitting Shiva. But if they come to where he is sitting Shiva, then these halachas don't apply. Furthermore, Dar Zeruah suggests that this halacha that we're learning in our Gemara today is only, this halacha that we began the shiur with now, is only where they're sitting Shiva in the place where the Nifter passed away. But if they're sitting Shiva somewhere else, this halacha would not apply. When we discuss the halacha ba makam karev, the question that many achrayim discuss is, how do we measure the makam karev? We said, quoting of course the Rishonim, that the definition of a makam karev is a place that's within 10 pasos. But we also explained that 10 pasos, the reason the number 10 pasos was chosen, because 10 pasos is the amount of distance that one could travel in one day. But that was in the times of Chazal, where to travel 10 pasos required traveling on a horse, which takes more time. But Bizman Hazeh, where you could essentially travel in one day, very, very great distances. And of course, the question that's most commonly asked is if people travel to Eretz Yisrael and then they're coming back to sit Shiva in Chutz Laaretz. And certainly the distance to travel nowadays doesn't take more than one day to travel to Eretz Yisrael. How do we consider such a person? How do we consider such a situation? The Aruch HaShulchan says that it depends on the distance of a travel in one day. And that's, therefore, Daruch HaShulchan is Mekel and says that as long as it's that distance, we can be lenient. The Shaila Meshev I saw is Machmer, and he's not prepared to say that as long as you could travel it that distance in one day, with modern ways of traveling, we could be Mekel. He says that when Rishonim and Al Gemara said 10 pasos, they meant 10 pasos. And if it's more than 10 pasos, we cannot be lenient, even though we could get there within one day. So the Tanakam said, as long as he gets there within the first 3 days, that's enough for him to be able to sit Shiva with his other relatives. The Rashba says a Chiddush. The Rashba says that not only if he could come back if he could get there within 3 days, and he gets there within that 3 days, and he sits shiva with the other relatives, is the halacha that he completes the shiva the same time as the other relatives? But the Rashba says, let's say he comes, he sits down shiva, and then he goes back to wherever he comes from. So he isn't even sitting the remainder of the shiva together with his relatives. Still says the Rashba that that's enough for him to be able to count shiva, the amount of time that the other relatives are giving shiva, even though he began the shiva later. The Tosfos points out that how do we understand that he came, Rav Shimon said, that even if he came on the seventh day and he sat down with them, that's enough for him to be able to complete the shiva together with them. As Tosfos, we apply the concept of Mitzvos Yom Kekulei. So as soon as part of the night passed, then their shiva is over. So if he only arrived the seventh day in the morning, why is he able to sit down with them and get up with them? So we've explained previously that even though we apply the concept when it comes to shiva of Mitzvos Yom Kekulei, we only apply Mitzvos Yom Kekulei only by day. That means Avelim cannot say Mitzvos Yom Kekulei and the night of the seventh, even though it's already in Halacha, the seventh day, because we start the day by night, that we can apply Mitzvos Yom Kekulei. We only can apply Mitzvos Yom Kekulei by day. So what happened here was that as long as he arrived by day, that's enough that we say the concept of Mitzvos Yom Kekulei, and he is able to get up to say, he's able to get up to sit down and get up with all the other relatives. The others explain, as we're going, the other Teres of Tosfos suggest, as we're going to learn in the Gemara, it depends as the, it's not dependent on the seventh day. What is the critical factor in this discussion is, did they start getting up or not? The people coming to Menachem Avilhim get up or not? And as long as there are people still being Menachem Avil, the other relatives, he could join with them. And that's why, in this case, we could be, says Tosfos, we could be lenient. The Meiri says a very interesting halacha. The Meiri says, our Gemara is discussing the halacha of somebody who wasn't there when the shiva began. What about the halacha, says the Meiri, what would be the halacha in a situation where this person wasn't aware that his relative was nifter? So certainly, if he wasn't aware that his relative was nifter, he doesn't have to sit shiva. And the question is, can somebody who knows that this person's really supposed to be sitting shiva because he lost a close relative, invite this individual to a suda, as we're going to learn? Of course, an Avil may not intend most types of sudas, most types of parties. The Meiri says, as long as the Avil is not aware of the shiva, he is allowed to be invited even to parties, and the person who's inviting him and knows that he's supposed to be sitting shiva is not doing anything that he's not allowed to be doing. So Gemara delves into this halacha a little more. Amamar, Shlosh Yaman Rishonim, during the first 3 days of Avelis, Ba Mimakum Karev, we learned as this relative comes from the Makom Karev, money man. But now, Rav Chiya Bar Avin qualifies this halacha. Am Rav Chiya Bar Ava, Baba, Am Rav Yochanan, that this halacha that we've been learning is only v'hu shiyesh gol habayis, only if the gol habayis is sitting shiva. If the gol habayis is sitting shiva, then the other relatives could be part of that as well. But of course, the question is, who is considered the Gadol HaBayis? So the Ritva says that there isn't a hard and fast rule who the Gadol HaBayis is. In every situation, we have to look is who is the most prominent person. Some Rishonim learn that Gadol HaBayis should be taken literally. It means the oldest sibling. But others say it doesn't depend on the oldest sibling. It depends on who is, the Ritva says, that the Gadol HaBayis really depends on who is the most prominent, who's the one that makes the decisions in the family. Of course, I saw that the Rishonim say that a katan, somebody who's below bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, can never be considered gol bayis. And the Shulchan Aruch says the gol bayis shahenu shikur bayis taliboy. It has to be that he or she are the ones that are making the decisions in the house. And since they're making the decision in the house, they are the ones that's the individual that's considered the gadol habayis. Certainly, in a situation where the gadol habayis is the one that didn't sit shiva with the other relatives, so he can't be considered part of their shiva, and his shiva begins when he sits down shiva. Ibailuhu, ask the Gemara, Kol habayis l'beis kvaris. That's the question that we just mentioned, where the gol habayis is the one that took the nifta to the cemetery. Mahu, what is the halacha? Because as we're going to learn, the shiva for everyone else begins from when they take leave of the mace. The shiva for the person who's participating in the kfura of the mace only can begin after the kfura. So the question is, the gol habayis, went to the kfura. How will we view his status? Toshma, the Gemara says, Damar Chibar Abba Rabbi Yochan, Afilu Hol Kol Bayis L'Bayis Kfaris. The Gol HaBayis went to the cemetery. Moine Imam. The Gemara says he counts the rest of the shiva together with the other Kriven who sat down shiva earlier because they didn't go to the Beis HaKfaris. Ask the Gemara, Moine Imam. How can we say that he becomes part of their count? For Tanya, when we learn expressly in the Braisa, Moinel Atzma, that he counts for himself and he doesn't become part of the rest of the family. Answer the Gemara, Lekasha, Hada Asa Betloy Tlosa. When Rabbi Yochanan said that he becomes part of the rest of the family as if he came back within 3 days of their sitting shiva, when he doesn't come back that quickly, he isn't considered part of the family. Rav said to the people from this place called Salfoni, any of the Avelim who come to the shiva home within 3 days, limnu ba'daichu, should be counted together with the other Avelim. However, whoever doesn't come back within 3 days, limnul nafshayu, they have to count their own shiva. Amalu Rava l'bnei Mechuza. Rava said to the b'nei Mechuza, Atun d'lo izlin nabasar arsa, you who don't follow the mitah to the Beis HaKvaris, mikim mehadris apaychu mibav dabula, from when you turn your face around from the city, in other words, from when you take leave from the nifter, aschilumanu, that's when you begin counting the shiva. In other words, somebody who doesn't go along with the kever, with the nifter, that's dalocha. However, the Ramban wants to suggest that this halacha, as soon as people take leave from the nifter, that's when they begin to shiver. That's only if the nifter is going to be taken to a different city for burial. But if the nifter is buried in the city where they're sitting in the sitting shiva, then the halacha is that they only begin shiva after the nifter was buried. And the shach says, and that's the way the Shach paskins. The Ramban actually says that that's the opinion of the Rambam as well, and that's the way the Shach paskins. In other words, there's a difference between where the nifter is being buried in the same city as where shiva will be sat, versus if the nifter is being buried in a different city. If the nifter is being buried in that city, the shiva, according to Ramban, only begins when after the burial, even though these Avelim did not actually go attend the burial. If the burial is taking place in a different city, then the shiva can begin as soon as they take leave. Rav Shimon Omer, Afil Babi Yamashvi, we learned at the beginning of the shir, Rav Shimon's opinion was that even if this oval only comes on the seventh day of the Shvi, Mamakum Karev, as long as he was in a Makum Karev, according to Rav Shimon, Moine Mohem, the halacha is that he counts along with them. Amar Rav Chiya Gam to Amar Rav Yosef Ben Shaul Amar Rabbi. When is the halacha that he could participate with their counting? It's as long as the Hushabah Menachem Menachem Etzloy. There's still people being Menachem Avol, these Avelim. So since there's still people being Menachem Avol, these Avelim, that means that their Shiva hasn't concluded, and therefore he could participate together with their Shiva. But if there are no Menachem there, that's Pasha Pshat in the Gemara, he can no longer participate. However, there the Ramah seems to say that it doesn't necessarily depend on the Menachem being there. It really depends as long as the other Avelim still are sitting Shiva. As long as the people still sitting Shiva, and it's the time where people would still become to be Menachem Avol, the halacha is that's considered that they're still sitting Shiva, and since it's still considered that they're still sitting Shiva, this person could participate with their Shiva. So ask the Gemara, Boy Rav Ami, Anon, Ninral Ahmed, the people who are coming to Menachem Avol are starting to get up, V'loy Amdu, but they didn't actually leave. Mahu, what is the halacha? In other words, the Gemara's question is, we just learned that in order to be able to participate in that Shiva, there still have to be Menachemim. What is the halacha? At what point is it considered that the Menachem is still there? Is it when they're actually sitting, or is it when they're sitting being Menachem Avol, or if as long as they're still in the home? And the Gemara says, take. Says the Gemara, Gemiri Chavei de Rav Abba, the colleagues of Rav Abba learned from Rav Abba, Manu, and who is that Rav Zeira? Vamrilei Chavei de Rav Zeira, Rav Zeira, that the colleagues of Rav Zeira learned from Rav Zeira, Manu, and who are we referring to Rav Abba? Am Rav Abba, Rei Rav Chiya bar Abba, Am Rav Yochanan, Halach Krib Shimon ben Gamliel with Treifus. We follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel in Hilchos Treifus, which we're going to discuss in a moment, and we follow the halacha of Rav Shimon ben Avol, and we follow the halacha of Rav Shimon ben Avol in this halacha that we've been learning in us in our Gemara now, that as long as this Avol comes, even on the seventh day, and the halacha is that he gets out, that they're still sitting Shiva, there's still Menachem there, he could participate. However, I did see a question that the Yechroidim discuss. This person who came on the seventh day, and he came when there's still people being Menachem over there, that according to Shimon, who the Gemara just says, we're passing like, could sit down Shiva with them. When does he get up? Does he get up together with them? Which would mean that he sits Shiva for a very short amount of time. Because these people are getting up soon. Because as we said earlier in our shiur, they're able to get up soon because we applied the halacha of Mixas HaYom Kekula. And once we apply the halacha of Mixas HaYom Kekula, they get up right away in the morning. But this person who hasn't sat Shiva at all, how can we say that he should be able to sit down just for a couple of moments and get up? And that's why there are achronim that suggest that this person, even though he won't have to sit the full Shiva, this day, the Rav Olam discusses this, the halacha is he should have to sit Shiva that day. The Masham sits the entire day. The Masham has another discussion. The Masham says that we know that the halacha is, we've discussed this, that the first day of Shiva, one does not wear tefillin. So this person who now, for the rest of his relatives, this is the seventh day of Shiva. But for him, this is the first day of Shiva. How do we look at it? Do we say that for him it's the first day of Shiva and he should not wear tefillin? Or do we say it's not the first day of Shiva? And he says, if we're going to treat it like the first day of Shiva, then how could we, and he doesn't wear tefillin, so how could we let him get up if it looks like the first day of Shiva? And therefore, it seems that the opinion of the Masha is that he should put on tefillin. Perhaps he should put on the tefillin with a bracha. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon ben Avol, this that we said that the halacha is like Rav Shimon ben Avol, is just, as we just explained, Hadamoran, that even if the Avil shows up on the seventh day and he sits down Shiva, given all the other conditions we've learned in our Shir today, he could finish the Shiva together on that day. What does it mean, the Tanya? We learned in a Braisa. The Braisa says, B'nai ma'ayim shenikfu, is a stomach of the animal was punctured. V'leichas osmosen, and there's mucus which is closing up that hole. Shera, the animal is not considered a terefa, divri of Shimon Gamliel. Ask the Gemara, Ma'ilecha, what is meant when we said the mucus is closing up that hole? Omer of Kahana, Shircha the Maya, mucus that's found inside the stomach. The Nakav Avdukka, that when if one presses on the stomach, that mucus would come out. If that mucus is considered enough of a way to plug up that hole, that the animal should not be considered a trefa. Omer Mandahu. So one of the Talmidim said, Eski v'asik, I should have the schus, that I should go up to Yisrael. V'agmel shmatze mipom demari. I would love to be able to hear this halacha directly from Rabbi Abba, who taught us this halacha. Kisolik, so when this Talmud eventually was zoichet to go to Yisrael, Ashkechel Rabbi Abba, he met him, Amalei, and he asked him, Amamar, he asked him, did you indeed paskin that the halacha is of Shimon Gamliel Treifus? Amalei, so he said, Ana ein halacha amri. I actually said just the opposite. I said the halacha is not like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel in the Shaila. So then he asked him, Rav Shimon ba'avol mai, the halacha that we've been discussing in our shir, what is the halacha regarding Avelis with somebody who comes later to sit Shiva with his family? Amalei plukta ninu. It's a machlaikis, as we learned in our shir. Ditmar, Rav Chizda Amar halacha, that the halacha is like Rav Shimon ba'avol. The Kenam Rav Yochanan, halacha is, we take the lenient approach of Rav Shimon. Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman's opinion, however, is, ain halacha, we don't take that lenient approach. And says the Gemara, v'ain halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel b'treifus, we don't follow the opinion of Shimon Gamliel by treifus. That means just because mucus is covering up the hole in the stomach, the halacha is that isn't considered a valid way that the animal should not be considered a treifa anymore. That hole makes that the animal still considered a treifa. However, v'alok of Shimon ba'avol, we do follow the opinion of Shimon ba'avelus, this more lenient approach, for as we've learned so many times, dam shmul, halacha k'divrei ha'meikel ba'avol, we always follow the lenient approach by hilchos avelus. One of the dinim that the Torah says is, the pasuk says, "Solon of Lasa la'etz," that a person who's nifter should be buried quickly. Furthermore, the Torah says, "Kisava ki kavatik berenu b'yomahu," we should bury the person that day. So from here we see that the Torah was very concerned that a nifter should be buried as quickly as possible. Says the Braisa, Akul Mesim Kulan, by all the other relatives besides a parent, Matcha Mitasai, the quicker somebody buries the Nifter, Hareza Meshubach. That is better. And besides, for the reasons that we just gave based on the Psukim, the Rishonim add other reasons why one should bury a Nifter as quickly as possible. The Rabbeinu Yerucham explains that when somebody buries a Nifter quickly, he's showing that he's makabel, that he's accepting what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done, that he's taken this person away, and he's accepting it, and he's burying it. Another pshat that the Nemukah Yosef explains, that by the burial of a parent, people spend more time on a hesped. So the hesped is for the kavod ha'meis. So since it's for the kavod ha'meis, so therefore we could delay the burial. But by the kvura of other relatives, there aren't such long as spadim said. And since there aren't such long as spadim said, the halacha is we should therefore bury him quickly. In fact, the Rishonim point out that the minig in Rome was that when one buried a parent, they would come to the Beis HaKfaris, stop and say a hesped, and then walk a little more and say a hesped, again, because by a parent, there are more hespedim, and that's for the kavod ha'meis. However, the Beis Hillel in Shulchan Aruch brings down that b'zman hazeh, even by the burial of a parent, one should not delay. And as we're learning now, a burial should be taken as take place as quickly as possible. Al aviv al imay, al kol meisim kulam, goes back to the Gemara. By all people who have nifta matchem etasai, whoever rushes the burial, hareza meshubach, that's better. Al aviv al imay, hareza maguna, for the various reasons that we just gave. Berev Shabbos, hay berev Shabbos or berev Yontif. But if the burial is taking place in erev Shabbos or Yontif, oy shayu gishamim besalfim amitasai, or it's raining on the nifter, which is of course a terrible lack of kavod ha'meis. So then hareza meshubach, it makes no difference who is the relative, since we have to prepare for Shabbos or it's raining, we should try to do it as quickly as possible. And in fact, the Beis Yosef, when it says gishamim mezalfim mitasoi, says that there are a number of situations that it could be that the Gemara is referring to. One is, it could be that they're concerned it's going to be raining. Another is that even if it's raining, but and the mace is maybe under a place with an awning, it's still something that we should quickly do the kvura. Because even though we just said burying a parent quickly maybe is not the proper covered, but if it's this Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontov, or raining, then it is proper covered. Says the Brice first, I'll call Mason Kulai and all the relatives, Rotsa Mamad the Eskoy, Rotsa Eina Mamad. By all other relatives, you could decide to do less work or not to do less work. Alova Limoy, by a parent, you don't have that option. The aloha is Mamad, one has to stop doing work. So, of course, the Rishonim say that we've been learning in our Masechta so many times that an Avel is not allowed to do any work. And here we're learning that by other Avelim, by other relatives, maybe not, only by parents. So the simple teretz that the Rishonim give is that we're talking here about a Dover Ovid. And even though we've learned in our Masechta many times that by a Dover Ovid there are leniencies, the Gemara is saying that those leniencies should only be by other relatives. By Aviv V'Imoy, one shouldn't even do work when it's a situation of a Dava Ovid. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that there's a difference between Schaira. Here we're not talking about actual physical labor. We're only talking about doing business, Massive Amatin. Massive Amatin, halachically, is not really considered in the same category as doing Melacha. And therefore, we could be more lenient when it comes to doing massive amatin during Avelis, but teaches us the Gemara, that's only by other relatives. By parent, one shouldn't do massive amatin, even though the halacha is more lenient when it comes to massive amatin. One of the minhagim that Avelim had in those times was that they took off their garment until the shoulder was visible. Says the Gemara, Akol Meisim Kulam, regarding all niftarim, rotza chaylitz, he could take off his garment from his shoulder, rotza ena chaylitz, he need not do so. Alava v'alimai, but when it comes to a parent, chaylitz, he's obligated to do so. Or meis begol ador, shemeis aviv, there was a situation where the gadol ador father passed away, or bikesh lachlitz, and he wanted to uncover his shoulder. Or bikesh gadol ador acha, Shimai, and there was another great Talmud Chacham who was accompanying him, Lachloitz, also to take off the clothing from his shoulders to show that he's feeling together with the pain of his chaver, v'nimnev lecholitz. But because he didn't want that this other person should end up looking, taking off the clothing from his shoulder, so he didn't do it either. The halacha b'zman hazeh, the Ritva already says that they stopped doing chalitza. It says that they stopped doing this. So Ritva says that in those days, they stopped in time to Rishonim, because we live amongst Goyim, and the Goyim will see somebody that does this, and they'll not understand, and they'll ridicule us, and therefore we stopped doing this. And we see from here, says the Meiri, it's based on our Gemara. Because in our Gemara we see that somebody lost their parent, and they should have taken off the clothing from the shoulder, but yet he didn't. The reason he didn't take it off was because respect for his colleague. So we see from here that the concept, the minig of taking off the clothing from the shoulders wasn't considered such a serious obligation. Otherwise, how would he be so quick to not do it? And therefore, says the Meiri, if there's any reason not to do it, like the Ritva says, we live amongst the Goyim, that's why we could be more lenient. Amar Abaye, so Abaye says, in identifying who are the individuals in this Gemara, Amar Abaye, Gol Ador was Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, and his father, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, passed away. The Gol Ador, Shimoi, and the Gol Ador that was with him was Rabbi Yaakov Acha. Vekadamri, but the other version says that the Gol Ador was actually Rabbi Yaakov Acha, who lost his father, and the Gol Ador Shimoi was Rebbe. So says the Gemara. Bishlam Lamandamar, according to the Mandamar that says that the one who lost the parent was Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha. The Gol Ador Shimoi, and the colleague that was with him was Rebbe Hanad Nimna V'loi Cholitz. Now we could understand why Rabbi Yaakov Bar Yaakov did not take over. Why Rav Yaakov Bar Acha did not uncover his shoulder out of respect to Rebbe. But asked the Gemara, El Amand Omer Rav Yaakov Bar Achav, according to Amand Omer, that the one that lost his father was Rebbe, lost his father, Shimon Gamliel, and the colleague who was with him was Rav Yaakov Bar Achav, Amay Nimna V'lai Cholitz, why did Rebbe stop Rav Yaakov Bar Achav from uncovering his shoulder? Rav Shimon Gamliel, who was Rebbe's father, Nasi Hava, he was the Nasi, and the halacha is the kula alma mechay v'lemechlitz. When the nasi is nifter, everybody has to take it off. So why shouldn't have he taken it off? Says the Gemara, kasha. This is the Gemara leaves this with a question. And as we've learned many times, when the Gemara says to yufta, there is no answer. When the Gemara says kasha, there is an answer. The halacha is that the answer is that even though when the Nasi is Nifter, as we learned and we're going to learn, everybody has to participate in the Avelis, still the halacha is that a Gol Ador himself, if the Nasi died and he left a son Rebbe, who's going now to be the Nasi, it's not covered for the Nasi to have to do chalitza, to taking off the clothing from his shoulders. And since it's not a covered for the Nasi to have to do so, that's why Rebbe, even though he was a son, did not have to do it. And therefore, Rav Yaakov Bar Achav, who was his colleague, also did not do it. We know that the Ovel is not allowed to take a haircut. We know this actually from the Torah, because the Torah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Elazar v'Isamar after their brothers, Nadav and Avihu were nifter, Reshechem al tefro, that don't let your hair grow long. So from here we see that specifically by the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them instruction that they should continue taking haircuts even though they're Avelim. Everyone else who's Rachman Slon and Oval may not take a haircut. Now the Gemara discusses those halachas. So says the Gemara, Akal Mesim Kulam, when we speak about all other niftarim, mistaper lachish loshiyim, after 30 days, one could start taking a haircut. Al ovev al imay, but if one rechman tzlon lost a parent, the loch is they have to wait to yigabay chaverov until the people tell him that they has to take a haircut, and then and only then may a haircut be taken. And of course, the question is, what does Yigabay Chaverov? Posh Pshat, Yigabay Chaverov, means that people tell him you need a haircut. The Ramah writes two halachas. One halach is that Yigabay Chaverov, according to Ramah, is 3 months. That one should not take a haircut, Yigabay Chaverov requires 3 months of waiting. Furthermore, the Mermar says that Yigabai Chaverov is not only halacha regarding the first haircut that the Ovel takes, the Ovel on a parent takes during the year that his parent was Nifter, but he says Yigabai Chaverov refers to every haircut that's taken that year. And every haircut that taken during the year of Avelis, you have to wait for Yigabai Chaverov. The Ramah, however, quotes on Azarua, who disagrees. And Azarua says that Yigabai Chaverov means the first haircut. But after the first haircut, the Ovel, even who lost a parent, could take haircuts like every other time during the year. The Bricka Yosef says that Yigabai Chaverov doesn't mean that actually that they reprimand him. As long as his hair is long enough that it would look, that people would tell him your hair is too long, that's considered in the category of Yigabai Chaverov. The Ramah writes that Ovel could take a haircut after 3 months, even if his friends didn't say anything. The Maram Shit discusses how do we count this 3 month period that Ramah just mentioned. Should we count it from when he took his last haircut? That means it's not necessary, probably not likely, that the Ovel took a haircut the day he became an Ovel. So how do we count the 3 days? The 3 months? Do we count the 3 months from the Ovel's last haircut? Or do we count the 3 months from when he became an Ovel? So he says, the wording in the Ramah seems to say that we count from when he became an Ovel. But he says that in case of necessity, what happens if Rachman Tzlan, this person who lost a parent, had not taken a haircut for a while? He was due for a haircut. And now he became an Ovel. So for him to have to wait another 3 months is a very long time. So the Maram Shik seems to be lenient and says that he doesn't have to wait 3 months. But of course the Maram Shik says that he has to wait the Shloshim. He can't take a haircut before the Shloshim ends. Ramosha Nigris Moshe says that the shear should be that you should double the amount of time you normally take between taking haircuts. That means if a person usually takes a haircut every 6 weeks, this individual who's an Ovel Rachman Tzlan for a parent should take a haircut every 12 weeks. The Paiskim say that this discussion that we're having here is specifically regarding haircuts, because people don't take haircuts that often. However, when it comes to shaving, people who shave quite often. Many shave every day. So therefore, the shear of Yigabai Chaverov of 3 months or whatever the shear is, that isn't the same. Furthermore, the Rabbi Kiva Eger discusses, he says, if a person has a job, or Rabbi Kiva Eger says, a person who frequents government officials and he has to look properly groomed, such an individual, we could be more lenient in letting him take a haircut and not waiting. Of course, always do we have to wait the Shloshim, but after the Shloshim, there's room to be more lenient. Akal Meisim Kulam, by all Niftarim, Nichnas Beis HaSimcha, Lach HaShloshim. After the Shloshim, he could go into a Simcha. Alova V'alimai, but an apparent he has to wait 12 months. Taisa says that when we're speaking here of going into a Beis HaSimcha, it means not just entering the Beis HaSimcha, but it means actually eating. But Taisa says that if you're not going to eat, then you could go enter. The Meiri disagrees, and the Meiri says that the Gemara is saying that a person can't enter into a Beis HaSimcha under those times. The halacha is, even if he's not going to eat, he's not allowed to go into those places. However, the Rosh already says that during a leap year, we know a leap year has 13 months. The halacha is that during a leap year, the Ovel doesn't have to wait the 13 months. Avelis never is more than 12 months. And since Avelis is never more than 12 months, we only have to wait the 12 months, not wait till the Yahrzeit, which is 13 months later. However, the Rishonim do say. We already discussed at the beginning of our shir, when it comes to Hilchos Avelos, on the last day of the Shiva, we say Mixas Yom Kekuloi. On the last day of the Shloshim, we say Mixas Yom Kekulo. When it comes to the 12 months, say the Rishonim, we don't say Mixas Yom Kekuloi on the last day. And there's a very nice explanation as to why. When we speak about units that are measured in days, so when we speak about units that are measured in days, that's where Chazal applied the concept of Mixas Yom Kekuloi. But when we speak about units that are not measured in days, there we don't apply the concept of Mixas Yom Kekuloi. So the Shiva is a unit that's measured in days. The Shloshim is a unit that's measured in days. And that's why we could say, that's why we do say, Mixas Yom Kekuloi. The year, the 12 months of Avelus by a parent, is not a unit that's measured in days. It's a unit that's measured in months. And therefore, when it's measured by months, we don't say, Mixas Yom Kekuloi. Amar Rabbi Babachana, this that we said, that by other relatives, somebody could go in after 12, after the Shloshim, L'Simcha Mereyes, that he's allowed to go in for a Simcha Mereyes, which is just a party, which is not such a big Simcha. But for a Suda of a wedding, he can't go in after 30 days. Meisvei asked the Gemara, how could you say that that's the halacha? That by an oval for other relatives, you can't go in after Shloshim. To a wedding, asked the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in a brisa that other relatives, L'simcha mareis, Shloshim yoim. So it says clearly that it's 30 days, even for weddings, says the Gemara, Kasha. That's indeed question, because here it seems that it's not that way. Says the Gemara, Amema Masnah Hachi, this was the version that Amema learned. Amar Rabba Babachana, L'simchus Mereyes, Mutal Kanes La'altar. Again, he's agreeing to the concept of Shloshim, but he's saying as follows. For Simchus Mereyes, if somebody is an Oval Rechman Slon on other relatives, Da'aloch is, he could go in immediately. By a wedding, he has to wait Shloshim. Vatanya asked the Gemara, doesn't the Brisa say L'simcha Shloshim, L'mereyes Shloshim? That even for Mereyes, you have to wait Shloshim? Answers the Gemara, Lo'kasha. Ha berisusa, ha bepurnasa. They used to make a party when they borrowed money. When the first person used to make a party, that the way they made the parties were that I make a party and invite my friends, and then they make a party and they invite me. So the first person who initiates this round of parties, that is a real party, because there was no reason to start initiating these parties. Such a party may not be attended by an oval, even on other relatives, during the Shloshim. But the party which is being celebrated, because now it's my turn to pay back, Pranasa, we know that we have to pay back. There, the halacha is, since that's not such a big simcha, I'm only making the party because I'm obligated to pay back. So the halacha, the Gemara is saying, is that after the Shiva, by other relatives, one could attend such a party. The Rishonim also discuss, what is the halacha by different types of sudos? Tosfos is makel by sudos bris mila. Tosfos says that the suda of a bris mila is not considered such a big simcha, especially because we recognize that at the bris mila, the child just went through an operation. And Tosfos says we could be more lenient when it comes to the suda of a bris mila. The Meiri says that we could be more lenient when regarding a wedding, if somebody is marrying off a yosem or yosema, there's no greater mitzvah to marry off a Yosef Yosema, and to even participating in such a wedding, and maybe we could be more lenient. Furthermore, Bizman, Beis HaMikdash Kayim, Avol was allowed to sit together with a chabura that were eating the Karman Pesach. That's certainly considered a Sudas Mitzvah. Furthermore, there are those that are lenient by a Bar Mitzvah. On the day of the Bar Mitzvah, if that's actually the boy b'yoyim of the bar mitzvah boy, And also, if the Bar Mitzvah boy is saying a Dvar Torah, we could maybe be more lenient regarding Avelim attending such a party, because also it's considered a Sudas Mitzvah. And similarly, I saw that the Paiskim discuss, we could maybe be more lenient with allowing an Oval to attend a Sudas Siyam, where Siyam is also a Sudas Mitzvah. Says the Gemara, Akol Meisim Kulay, May all Niftarim, the relatives, Kriya Tefach. They have to tear Kriya Tefach. Alava V'alimai, Rahman Slan, Kriya on a parent is Achi Yigala Slibai. It has to go all the way down to the heart. Because the Yerushalmi explains, why is there more of a Chiyav by a parent, more Kriya by a parent than by anyone else? Because besides that the person is crying for the loss of his parent, he's also crying for the loss that he had no longer has the ability to do the mitzvah of kibud av v'aim. And for that, a person has to cry. There's also interesting machloikis, if we wear talis cotton, does kriya have to be done on a talis cotton? The Netziv, the Gesher Chaim, say that one doesn't have to tear kriya on his talis cotton, and that's the way Rev Avad Yosef also paskins in the Shas of Tshuvas Yabia Omer. But he makes a very interesting point there. He says, even though, as we've been discussing many times, even in our shiur today, that when it comes to Hilchos Avelos, the halacha is halacha kedivri amekel ba'ovel, we always follow the more lenient opinion when it comes to Hilchos Avelos. Says Rav Avadya Yosef, that's a rule in Hilchos Avelos. That isn't a rule in Hilchos Kriya. When it comes to Hilchos Kriya, the halacha is that we don't necessarily follow the more lenient opinion. Amravu Maikra, where do we see that the minimum shear of Kriya is a Tefach? Says the Gemara, because the Pasuk says, when Shaul and Yonason, his son, were Nifter, the Pasuk says, V'chazik David b'begodav v'yikoreim. He held on to his clothing and he ripped them. It says the Gemara, V'ein achiza pachs mitefach. Whenever the Pasuk used the word that you grabbed onto something, it means you were holding at least a Tefach. Akol meisim kulam, continues the Gemara, by all niftarim, afilu lavish asar chalukim, even if he's wearing 10 garments, and a kareya ela elyon. He only rips the outermost garment. A love of alimai, kareyas kulan. By a parent who rips all of the garments. The afikusasai, but the shawl that they used to wear around their head, around their head, Rashi explains that they used to wear a shawl, a scarf around their head, and then it would go down past the head. That's not considered a garment that one has to rip kriya. Krisosoi enimakavis. Echad ish vechad isha. This halacha applies both by men or women who are avelim. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, ha'isha karas is a tachton. A woman who lost a parent and has to rip all the clothing that we just said, she should first rip an inner garment, and then a machziras lachera, and then put up that rip, and then chayz v'karas is elyon. Because we don't want that any part of the woman's body should be uncovered. Akal meisim kulam, rotzim avdol kamisof v'shaloi, and all the other niftarim, somebody could rip. He doesn't have to rip it by the hem. Rotz enim avdol, he doesn't have to rip it by the hem. Alava v'imoy mavdol. We have to, the kriya that's done on a parent has to be noticeable that it's a kriya. If you don't make kriya she'enim avdol kamisof v'shaloi, anywhere that the kriya is not done in a way that it's very noticeable that it's a real kriya, ena el krash otiflis, it's a meaningless act of kriya. Amravu my tam de Yehuda, the ksiv, we go back to the pasuk that the pasuk says that when Elio went up to Shemayim, the pasuk says that Elisha tore his clothing, and the pasuk says v'chazik b'godav v'yikrayim l'shnayim kroyim. And the question is, mashma shnayim kroyim. Once the pasuk says that he ripped his clothing, so why does it have to say any yedei shein l'shnayim? So it's obviously that it was now in two. Ella shenirin kekruim kishnayim. The pasuk is teaching us that one only fulfills the obligation of kriya is when the kriya actually looks like a kriya. Akala mesim kulam shaylu. You could sew up the tear with wide stitches lacha shiva or macha, and then you could totally sew it up lacha shloishim. I love a ve'imoy shaylu lacha shloishim. By a parent, you could only do that those wide stitches after shloishim ve'enam achla olam, but you can never sew it up properly. Yisha shalelas la'altar, a woman who, again, there's a question of tznis, as we're learning, nekvayda, could make these wide stitches immediately. Kiyasa Ravin, Amar Rav Yochanan, akol ha'mesim rotza korei b'yad, by all niftarim, you could do the kriya with a hand, rotza korei b'keli, you could use a scissor, al ovev ve'imoy, but on a parent, b'yad. But Rabbi Yashiv says that even though the halacha is that by a parent the kriya has to be done biyad, that means that doesn't mean you can't start with a scissor. It's hard to start ripping a garment just with your hands. So he says you could take a scissor or a knife and begin the kriya and with that way, and then continue with your hand. V'amar b'chir bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, akol ha'mesim kulam b'fnim. You could put your hand inside and do the kriya. Al avival imoy by a parent kriya mebuchutz. As we've been learning, it has to be a kriya that the kriya is noticeable. There are two halachas. One halacha is that the actual kriya, the place that where the garment is torn, it's noticeably torn, and that the act of kriya has to be done in a public fashion. Amrav Chizda v'chein l'nasi. That's the halach by nasi as well. Meisvei asked the Gemara. It says, even though the halacha of kriya by a nasi is similar to the halacha of kriya by a parent, but ask the Gemara, that's only regarding the halacha, so how and when we could sew up the kriya, but not regarding this halacha as well. My lava filu nasi, loy, levav nasi. By a nasi, the halacha is the kriya should be like by a parent. Nasi ishchav, and says the Gemara, the nasi was nifter. Amalei Rav Chizda, Rav Nachman bar Ami, kafi isasa, take a pail, v'kumala, and stand in it, v'ach v'kriya la'alma, and do the kriya in a way that everybody should see that you're doing the kriya, and everybody should see the kriya, clearly indicating that the kriya of a nasi should be like the kriya on a parent.